Blah, blah, blah. We'll call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is now 3:12 p.m. Thursday, May 13th, 2021. Developing a quorum, we have with us Representative McKay, Representative Kronk, Vice Chair Hopkins, Representative Shragi, Representative Gillum. Representative Fields should be joining us shortly, and Representative Hannon and Rauscher are predisposed. I'd like to say thank you to our recording secretary, Robin, and our LO moderator, Doug. Please silence your cell phones, put them up on a notepad. We do not have any members with us in the audience. I just wanted to make sure that the committee was aware of what was happening with House Bill 120. This is our second hearing on it, the land disposal bill. We've received some amendments from committee members, but our office has communicated with them that the department, who is the sponsor of this bill, has some major work that they're reworking, so it might affect the amendment. So what we'll do is we'll hear some of the proposals from the department in regards to an amendment, and then have a little discussion on that. And then once we get the new working draft prepared and before the committee with the changed language, then we'll kind of pick up the process where we left off with potential amendments and you know, continuing debate on that. So with that, as I mentioned, we had received some concerns from different stakeholders. You should have a letter of one of the concerns that we received. So I think the department is going to work with those concerned folks on remedying and clearing up whatever their concerns were. So what we'll do today is we'll hear some discussion on amendment, which I just referred to as the Vietnam Veteran Amendment, and what that does and what that initiative is from the administration, and we'll hold the bill. So I don't see it moving out this week, and maybe not even next week. So with that, we'll turn the floor over to the department to walk us through some of the proposed changes. And just for the record, we have online for potential questions Department of Law, Chris Orman, and Department of Agriculture, Dave Shady. And then Mr. Parsons is going to walk us through the proposed change. So, Mr. Parsons, please put your name on the record and begin your presentation.
Good afternoon, Chairman Plekatek. This is Marty Parsons. I'm the Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. So the last time I came before the committee, we discussed HB 120 and some of the things that it did. As a really quick recap, you know, the bill provides the Department of Education and of Transportation certain authorities to dispose of lands that they acquired for their specific purposes. Made some changes to the cap on the LDIF, took it from $5 million to $12 million. Updated some of the language that we have in our statutes that would allow us to use online auctions, removed and replaced foreclosure with termination, because those terms are more accurate as to what we actually do when we when a contract is terminated. And then there was the commercial use land bill that we had quite a discussion on, that at some point I would like to clarify some of the concerns that were brought before the committee. But I think the big important thing that we're here to discuss today is the amendment that the governor has brought forward that will allow those veterans that were serving overseas in Vietnam, Native Alaskan veterans, the opportunity to fulfill their land entitlement that was established under the 1906 Act. They were out of country. Obviously, there was no way, there was no internet, no email, no fax machines. Everything either had to be done in person or by letter. Many of them, with the passage of the ANCSA Act, where that was that sunset, the 1906 Native Allotment Bill, were not able to apply for, and so therefore didn't receive or apply for their land. What this bill does is the Dingell Act in 2019, a federal act, reconstituted that program, provided an opportunity for those veterans to again apply for those lands. At the end of the previous administration, we had good news that several of the public land orders that had blocked lands from being available for allottees to select from would be lifted, which would have made about 25 million acres available to the allottees to select. Unfortunately, the current administration has decided to put a hold on implementing those, the lifting of those PLOs, or public land orders. So that amount went from 25 million to approximately 1.5 million. So what this amendment does is this allows...
And Mr. Parsons, sorry to interject, just so it's clear for even the listening audience or anyone else online, we're speaking to the amendment that's labeled in the work order Bravo 0.5.
I believe that is correct. I have draft version Bravo.
Yes. In the upper right-hand corner, it should end in Bravo 0.5, just for everybody following along. Thank you, Mr. Parsons. That's all.
Okay. So what this amendment does is this is going to allow those eligible Vietnam-era veterans, Alaska Native veterans, to select from that 1.5 million acres that is currently out in Good News Bay along the 40-mile river drainage and on the Bering Glacier down in just outside of Yakutat, to select those lands, go through the process to get those lands certified, which is the same thing as receiving patent, and then petition the state to enter into a land exchange agreement where we would exchange those federal lands for state lands. And that we believe, the governor believes, that provides the allottee the opportunity to select their lands now, receive the lands, and then exchange them for lands closer to an area that they would have more traditionally used. This would allow individuals in the southeast to select from some of the community grant land that the state has in southeast, and provides that opportunity for the allottees to fulfill that obligation by the federal government. The process is fairly straightforward. As with all allottees, they apply to the federal government. The BLM reviews their, the BIA reviews their applications, determines if the applicant is eligible. If so, the applicant then selects lands from what the federal government says is open for selection. The federal government then goes out and surveys that land. And at the end of that process, they issue a certificate to the allottee. We estimate that will take probably a year to two, if it's fast-tracked, for that to be completed. A lot depends on the survey budget that the federal government has to survey these lands, to complete the platting of those lands, and then issue the certificate. Once that is done, then the allottee comes to the state, and the state begins the 3850, Title 3850 land exchange process. Now, it's a public process. They would select from lands that the state says would be available. Those would not be lands that are contained within legislative designated areas, not lands that are classified for oil and gas or other resource development, habitat land. Those lands would not be available. It's those lands that are currently identified for conveyance, which would be settlement, agriculture, resource management lands. Those would be the pool that the individuals could select from. Now, it doesn't mean that there couldn't be a possibility of a reclassification, which is a whole nother process that the allottee would have to go through. But initially, that universe for them to select from would be those lands that are available for conveyance. And then if it's found in the best interest of the state, which we believe that we would walk through our process, go through get the public input, make sure that access easements are identified where necessary. They're what we call to and along easements that we're required to put on lands that are conveyed out of state ownership. Then the state would exchange that certificate that the allottee received from the federal government for a state patent for the state land. Now there's several ways that we can look at it. If we look on the bill, I believe it's on page 2, starting out at line 5, we talk about the department shall identify in each region, you know, lands that are, line 10. This talks about how we would exchange land. If it's a small parcel, 2.5 acres up to 10 acres, and the director will exchange acre for acre.
And Mr. Parsons, sorry, just to clarify, you're referring to the amendment, not the underlying bill, page 2, line 10.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. My apologies on the amendment, page 2, line 10. Walks through how the state would look at valuing the land and how it would work into the exchange. There's three primary categories, basically less than 10 acres, 10 acres that 10 acre parcels, and then those that are greater than 10 acres that have have high value. Each of those would be looked at individually for how would we exchange land. Small parcels, it'd just be acre for acre, no valuation would be considered. Right at 10 acres, we'd look at approximate equal value, and then if it's a larger parcel, then we would have to look at the parcels being surveyed and an appraisal done, and then work out to how the exchange is made equal. And we believe that correcting the record and fulfilling those allotments is one way that we can look at equaling those values. Beside that, it's a pretty straightforward amendment. I know the governor and those of us at DNR believe that this is an important amendment to make to help fulfill those obligations that the federal government has made to our Vietnam era Native Alaskan allottees, and using state land to do that where possible or where necessary. Now the state would be the title holder to those in holdings within federal lands, and then that would become an issue that the state would work out with the federal government. But this particular amendment, its primary purpose is to fulfill those obligations to our Vietnam veterans or our Alaska Native Vietnam veterans.
Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Any questions from committee members? Representative Fields.
Thanks, Chairman Puckettuck. More just a statement. I appreciate you sharing this letter from our regional corporations. And I had previously received an email from a gentleman who was the director of the Division of Mine, Land, and Water, worked in DNR for 30 years. And I think we shared this with Grace so that it could be uploaded on BASIS just for members' review. But this former longtime DNR employee had expressed concern around Section 13 of the bill, which I think is in the bill, 3805086. And he says that would allow individuals to nominate parcels for commercial development leases, essentially ignoring land use planning processes and allowing the state to essentially do non-competitive sole source leases and sales of state land. So, looking at this letter from the regional corporations, I appreciate the intent of, I think, working on it more just to make sure that when land has gone through a public land use planning process, we are cognizant of that as we consider this bill further. So just wanted to mention that, and thank you for your approach to this bill.
Thank you, Representative Fields, and thank you for joining us, Fields, Hannon, and Rauscher, just for the record, over the last 10 minutes or so. Further questions from committee members on the new amendment to House Bill 120? Okay, seeing or hearing none, that was the intent of today's meeting, just to make sure that the committee was aware of a major change to a piece of legislation that we've once heard before. We'll work with the, we'll wait to hear back from the department once they're able to have discussions with the concerned stakeholders in regards to the amendment and the underlying bill as a whole. And then after that, once we draft a new working document, we'll entertain potentially maybe the same amendments that were offered by committee members to my office already. If not, then maybe they won't apply. Then after that, we'll move forward in the process with that. So I just wanted to make sure that the committee understood where we were on this bill, and thank you, Mr. Parsons, for walking us through the intent of the amendment, and we look forward to working with you on threading the needle on getting this completed, but doing it right. I think we all know that anything that pertains to lands in Alaska is mucky water and can be a real bad gray area. So with that, we'll hold the public testimony later once we get the new draft of the bill. Any other closing statements by any committee members first, or the department? Representative Hannon.
Chairman, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for being late. I have a bill up in another committee, and they switched the order, so now I'm here. And let me just confirm in my own mind, so we're going to see a CS with this amendment offered by the administration to their bill incorporated. So we aren't, as a committee, adopting it. We're allowing them to amend their bill. That's the CS that we're talking about that will come back to us, then the other amendments that have been offered.
Correct. So we'll incorporate the Vietnam Veteran Amendment into the new CS. Whatever work that the department does with the letter of concern from the regional corporations and whatever amendments they have to the underlying bill itself and the Vietnam Vet Amendment will be all incorporated into that CS.
Okay.
And then we'll pick up the process again and allow committee members to voice their opinion through the amendment process if concern is still there. Representative Rauscher.
And I, too, was late. I was in DMV. I apologize to everybody in the committee. So the amendment, who is offering it?
Representative Rauscher, the governor, and through the Office of DNR and Division of Mining, Land, and Water has offered the amendment. And I guess in a 30,000-foot view, what it does is through the Alaska Native Allotment Act of 1906, natives were allowed to select allotment. It was surpassed or sunset during the ANCSA. The ANCSA Act extinguished the rights under the 1906 ANA. Unfortunately, during that time, there were some eligible ANA service members who were serving overseas during Vietnam that missed that last window to get native allotments. So what was done at the federal level was that to make that whole, because land allotment was extinguished with ANCSA, the previous federal government administration worked into some piece of legislation an allowance to select certain lands that are federal lands for those folks that missed that opportunity. And the roundabout thing is that they only offered edges of rivers and tops of glaciers, and they weren't necessarily regionally specific. So, for example, I think Mr. Parsons noted a couple of the places that were allowed to be selected from. A Vietnam veteran from Barrow didn't have federal land to choose from within 200 miles or so of Barrow. It wasn't done right, I guess you can say. And so what this amendment does is it now allows the state-controlled land to be the Vietnam veteran, the native allotment recipient, is able to make a claim, the top of the glacier or the bottom of the lake, and then trade it with the state of Alaska for state-controlled lands that's regionally germane to their heritage. So, Mr. Parsons, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the basic understanding of what this amendment does in conjunction with the underlying bill.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Representative Rauscher.
Follow up to Mr. Parsons, and the question may have been asked already, but my question is, roughly how many people are we talking about here?
Mr. Parsons?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair again, Marty Parsons, director of the Division of Mine, Land, and Water. From rough numbers, it can range from 300 to upwards of 2,000. That's what we don't know yet because the applications haven't been received. We do know that the number is declining. Those of us from the Vietnam era aren't getting any younger, and so that's why it's important that we look at this amendment.
Follow-up, Representative Rocha.
So just for clarification's sake, I don't have any understanding, but were they allowed to pass it on to their relatives? And would those relatives still be holding those properties? And are those relatives who hold those properties allowed to partake in this?
Mr. Parsons?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, this would be similar to the 1906 Allotment Act, where once an allottee was eligible, then their heirs could continue the process, if I remember the Dingell Act correctly. And then once it is conveyed to them, they own the property, so they can then dispose of it. I think the one caveat to that is under the 1906 Act and under the allotments, BIA works with the allottee to make sure that the allottee is getting fair value for their allotment, but they could sell the entire allotment or a portion thereof.
So
follow-up, Representative.
So the question was, they could pass it down or sell it, but if they pass it down, they haven't sold it, are they allowed to still trade it?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, we would deal with that as in regulation. That's not covered directly in the bill. And I think, if I understand your question, if the Alaska Native Vietnam veteran received a federal portion, and he or she didn't make the exchange while they were alive, would their heirs be able to make that exchange? Do I understand the question correctly?
Basically, yes.
Okay. That's something that we'll deal with in regulation as we move forward on this. That has not been contemplated in the bill.
Thank you, Representative Rush.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Parsons. Thank you.
And you know, I'll give notice that I'm personally affected by what this amendment would do. My father-in-law served during the Vietnam era and was a beneficiary of the Dingell Act, is deceased. We received the land selection paperwork from the federal government and the BLM, I think it is. So, good question, because your question speaks to exactly my wife's case as far as a heir to what this is. So, I think the last thing that I didn't explain in the layman terms was that the new administration ceased what the Dingell Act did as far as making the Vietnam veterans who were eligible under the ANA eligible to claim that land. So, because that would be a long, drawn-out process, I think it's the governor's approach to try to fill that gap. So, all good, Representative Rush?
Yep, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Mr. Parsons, if there's anything that I may have misstated, feel free to correct me.
Mr. Chairman, I did get a note from Mr. Orman that says, yes, the heirs are eligible individuals.
Okay, thank you. Further questions or comments from members of the committee? Okay. Well, like I said, the plan is to let the department do the work with the concerned stakeholders and make any effects to the original bill so that we can have a clean working document. So look forward to working with you guys in continuing this. I think we've got a scheduled meeting tomorrow, and I lost my list that said that.
Yes, we do.
Tomorrow we've got SB 101 by the Senate Resources Committee. We were anticipating SB 134, but depending on what the other body does and it being read over, I'm not sure if we'll have time to do that. And then we'll be in contact with the committee on what next week's schedule is going to look like, just based on the extension of floor sessions that impede on what we're doing here. So we'll see you all tomorrow, hopefully at 1 o'clock. Meeting is adjourned at 3:37.